This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And today we have probably one of my favorite couples in Bachelor Nation, Chris and Alana. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
We're excited. We haven't done a podcast together ever.
I love that we got kind of like the first couple podcasts.
Yeah, and you guys seem very nervous. You guys are drinking heavily.
I mean, you got to...
That was a good cheers. Damn.
That was a great clink.
Yeah. No, I'm glad we got you guys on. We've wanted to catch up with you guys for a while because I feel like a lot of your guys's story, if you will, you know, wasn't really shown on TV. Obviously it was like all about the drama and all that BS. So like, I'm happy we get to sit down and see you guys and just see kind of how you've been and everything. So let's actually just go ahead and start in Paradise. Cause obviously, so you guys had kind of sort of met before, right? That was like the whole thing. It was like,
I'd met. Yeah. Just about every girl before going out there.
Everybody meets everybody. Yeah, exactly. I fucking hate when they do that shit, man. I hate when they're like, oh my God, you met? Yeah, of course you met. Like everybody meets, you know? So,
I mean, Blake went on a tour before his, so just kidding.
I had a year and a half before my fucking, of course I'm going to meet everybody.
Like a hand pick from the litter of every girl he wanted to meet before going.
Gentlemen, if you're listening and you're going on fit, don't do what I did. Don't do what I did. But, or do it. Just be smarter about it. Well,
are they even going to have it? Because I keep seeing all these rumors. And I feel like
there's no way they wouldn't.
I know. And I know, like, I feel like they have to do it. But I keep looking at the numbers as far as like what shows get the most views. And I feel like Paradise is always on the bottom end, but it's always the one people are most excited about.
I'm glad we talked about this because there has been a lot of rumors lately. Like I think Reality Steve mentioned it. And then of course it got picked up by like God, no, everybody. I think there's 0% chance BIP gets canceled. I mean, I heard from a very good source that they literally said that now BIP is going to be like the Flagstaff show and they're just going to put it in a different time slot. Cause I think the reason it does so bad in ratings is because it's in the summer.
Yeah.
So like nobody watches TV in the summer, you know, but if they put it in that winter or that spring, I think it would absolutely crush personally. So,
which might make sense with the timing of the Bachelorette now,
mm-hmm.
cause that's not going to be done on, I mean that they'll start filming Paradise One in August, July.
No, I think, yeah, well, they still might. I don't know. That's a good question.
Which then would push that back to like a fall winter release then for that.
I honestly would think they would move Bachelorette to next year and put Paradise in that slot. Personally, that's what I think, but we'll see. We'll see. It's weird. We talked about this, the like amount of men, right? The amount of men that would go on Paradise compared to the women this season are, it's very unbalanced.
Yeah, sure. I feel like we've just had a lot of men coming into the franchise.
I know. We've had a lot. And then all the women are all kind of wifed up. You know what I mean? They like come off the show and they get wifed up. So it's kind of like, I don't know. Or we have, I mean, fuck, we have two Bachelorettes this year too, because one of them would have been in Paradise and been a big name. So
yeah,
it's going to be an interesting year.
It will be. I mean, I guess they can always pull from some veterans of the show, but
yeah, they could.
Maybe Tammy will go back out there again, you know?
A lot of doubles. I bet there'd be a lot of people who've gone down a couple of times. So I'm trying to get Elise down there. We're working on it.
Oh, she needs to go.
I know. We're working on it. I mean, not that they're going to listen to me, but I'm going to make some calls. Yeah. You know, I'm going to make some calls.
I mean, we're trying to get Rodney and Elise together anyway.
Yeah. Rodney and Elise. But yeah, man. So you guys' experience on Paradise itself? Like, are you guys glad? I mean, obviously you guys are together now, but like looking back at Paradise, like what, if somebody was like, how was your experience on Paradise? What would you say now looking back with however many months it's been, 6 months?
I mean,
fucking awful.
Yeah. I tell everyone, you know, people we meet who don't really know a ton about us who ask like, oh, you guys were on that show. I need to go back and watch it. I'm like, don't fucking turn it on. Please don't. Like, yeah. I'd rather have you know us for who we are right now and in this moment than looking back at that and being like, oh, you did that. You did that, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, we look back at our experience and it's just like, I don't want to say I'm glad it happened. I mean, like, I'm glad.
Happy we did it, because like we wouldn't be together if we didn't.
Yeah.
But right. I'm mad how it went still.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't blame. Listen, I mine happened 3 years ago and I'm still fucking salty. So I don't blame you at all for obviously having, you know, some anger and frustration towards the whole thing.
Yeah.
In that moment when like all of that was going around, when people were literally, I remember watching it and I was on your guys' side. And I remember watching it being like the amount of like mob mentality. And that's a lot what Paradise is. I've talked about this, like mob mentality, where it's like one person is down and everybody sees an opportunity to bully that person so that they don't get bullied. So it's like, oh my God, these people are down. I'm going to bully them. And it's a big mob mentality. So when that was happening, when you kind of felt that happening or saw it happening, what were you feeling in the moment that maybe you couldn't necessarily say? Like, what were you feeling?
I mean, I think for me, there were things that I wanted to say and that part of me wishes I would have said. But I think in that moment, I was kind of like, I had a choice. I could either be the bigger man and just walk away, or I could have sat there and fought and then waited to see how that all got edited. Mm-hmm. So that was the tough part for me. Cause I mean, I was literally sitting there while everyone was coming at me and I'm just like biting my tongue. Cause I knew exactly what I wanted to say in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say it, but I don't know. And I mean, Alana even tried to speak up and they just shut her up the second she tried to say anything.
Oh, I remember this. I remember that actually.
Which actually went on much longer than it was showed, but they only showed a little bit of that, but.
Interesting. Really? So you were like.
I don't know how much I could say about that. But
yeah, I mean, that isn't really, you know, production or anything. Cause I mean, but like you were trying to speak up and everybody was more or less like shushing you, like silencing.
And I mean, it had been such a long day for me. Like I came in the night before. I hadn't slept at all. I went on the date with him. We come back to the beach. It's been 24 hours. I haven't slept and everyone's angry. And I'm just like,
yeah,
that was like, that was you. And those were your first steps on the beach too.
Yeah.
Like the first time she even showed up there. So she, went from the party to the next day asking me on the date. And so that was her actual like first time being on the beach and being around, you know, everyone.
Dang, that's interesting. Wow. And people don't realize that, like, you don't sleep, especially when you're going on dates. When you're going on dates, the dates last all night. Like, you don't sleep at all. So that obviously plays a huge part into like how the emotions and the tensions, if you will, throughout. So
yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a hard situation. But I remember watching it and just being so frustrated for you guys, because it just seemed like everybody was just like ganging up on you guys for a lot of, like I said, I bet this is something you bit your tongue for, but like a lot of what the people on the beach had done, you know, like everybody had met beforehand and everybody had talked and everybody had, yeah.
And I think even the girl coming at me, we had met beforehand and Elena was there as well.
I love it. So, the girl. She's like,
the girl.
We don't say her name.
Yeah.
We don't say that name at all here.
Thou shall who not be named or whatever. Yeah.
And it, you know, it probably helps me contract wise if I don't say the name, you know, but, I mean, obviously we had all met beforehand. Like I still have photos in my phone from that weekend of all of us together.
Mm-hmm. That was in San Diego.
Yeah.
We were going to go to that.
Yeah, because that was.
You should know, it was fun.
I heard it was a blast.
We set the bar really high with the Nashville trip.
Yeah.
And then like 2 weeks later was your guys' infamous San Diego trip.
Yeah. And we just couldn't. We were literally burnt out because we went like Nashville somewhere. And then we were like, I can't do it.
Yeah, it was like a weekend off.
You know what? And I think if I'm being honest, the person I was like closest with on that trip was actually Brett Vergara.
Oh, okay.
Well, when me and Brett were just chilling in the hot tub together for a solid 2 hours that night, this hot tub was maybe 60 degrees. And so Brett and I are just sitting there like shivering, holding each other. I'm like, I look bad to anyone else. Like looking
back. We'll be right back.
It was a fun trip. I feel like after going home from that, I would have never expected like the animosity we were met with. So that was hard. But the thing that you mentioned before, like in that moment, people are thinking, I'm like, everyone's bullying them. I'm going to bully them. So I'm not. And they're coming at them. So I'll just get on that train. I can understand that. Like after some time went by, I kind of forgave that. But what you can't really forgive is people going back to their normal lives and then never reaching out and apologizing. Never being like, hey, you know what? I shouldn't have treated you like that. And I'm sorry. And like, I'm a human reaching out to another human. Like, can we make peace with this? Like, we didn't get that at all.
Yeah, I didn't actually hear from any of them besides Riley. And post, so after all of it, he was just on the phone with Noah, because Noah, the second he left Paradise, flew back to Salt Lake City, and I wasn't in town. And Noah's like, hey, I just got sent home, I'm on the way back. And I was like, dude, I just hopped on a plane to go to Texas. And so I booked another flight immediately to come back home to Salt Lake City.
Gotcha.
But yeah, he was just on the phone, and Riley was like, hey, man, I'm sorry I came at you so hot, but just be ready for the tell-all. I'm going to have to come at you hot again. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he said something. But not only did anybody call you and apologize or even be like, listen, even what Riley said, like, listen, I'm sorry I came at you so hot, but you know how it is. Like, at least you get like some kind of like, okay, we're human beings. But you actually got the opposite. You got people still talking shit even after it had aired, which blew my mind.
I was getting straight up death threats from people, and like people got into my LinkedIn and like got my work email and were coming after me there too. And it's like, no one stopped it. No one was like, hey, leave him alone. It's just me. So like I lost respect for everyone.
And for me, like I saw myself as the bad guy and saw Lana as like the innocent person who got wrapped up in my shit personally. And so I felt really bad for all of it. Because here's the thing, like if someone gives me a death threat, I'm like, here's my address, come find me. I don't care, but don't like come at a woman and say like things like that to her. Cause it's different for men and women.
Yeah.
You know, like
100%.
If you want to come threaten me and come find me, I'm like, cool, let's just meet up in a park. But like, it's obviously going to be different for a woman. And you know, like things like that, threats like that, just don't fly. So
I love how you just said kind of like people would have helped us stop that and like that, because it does happen. Like, you know, every season there's somebody, I mean, I got a lot of death threats. Like every season there's somebody who gets all these death threats, but usually people will, you know, jump up and be like, listen, don't send death threats. Maybe they made a mistake, do this with us, don't send death threats. Or it didn't seem as bad as it was on television. The drama was blown up way big, like don't send death threats, that kind of thing. And yeah, you guys really didn't get that. And I bet that was incredibly frustrating at times.
And it was just hard to even see Bachelor-sponsored podcasts like continue to come at us about the whole thing after it all aired. And I'm like, come on. Like, you guys are really going to keep egging this stuff on after it all aired?
Yeah.
So that was the toughest part. And I don't know, like,
I'm like still recovering, honestly.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was hard.
Yeah.
It's incredibly difficult. And I think, you know, as far as the Bachelor sponsored podcast, they obviously have like a narrative, right? I'm sure they had to push a narrative and push these character arcs and storyboards that they're told to push. And it's incredibly frustrating because sometimes that's not even how the audience reacts. Like, I know there were quite a few people who were on your guys' side too.
Yeah.
But the show there's no way they'd acknowledge that, because then you're going against the production's, you know, narrative, if you will.
Oh, for sure.
And it was really nice when, like, I went on, I forget what it's called, Becca Kufrin's podcast, and like she let me explain my side of things and everything, and she, you know, backed me up. But aside from that, no one else.
Wow.
Now, I'm pretty sure the only person that was at the beach that actually said something was Tammy. That was like, stood up for us.
Yeah.
So it was hard, you know, and then like people don't want to get involved because they don't want to be like on anyone's bad side. So it's rough and no one really understands how extreme it is unless they're living it.
Mm-hmm. So. And especially in your guys' case, like you guys are really nice people. So it's not like you're used to this. You know what I mean? Like I know that's what happened to me too. It was like, I wasn't used to people coming at me and telling me I'm this fucking asshole and this horrible person and sending me death threats. Like it was just like a shock to the system. And so man, you guys are the same way, you know, like you guys are good people, you know? So it's like,
yeah. Cause I think when we originally all had met, it was right after the season had aired, right? In Chicago at our show.
Yeah.
That was an awesome show. And thank you guys so much.
No, I'm glad you guys came.
And I remember, first impressions, cause we had your back the whole time talking about you guys, like on our podcast during our recaps and everything. Mm-hmm. And then meeting y'all in person, I was like, man, these two souls, they're two beautiful human beings. Like you guys are so kind and friendly. And we felt so bad for like the shit you guys were going through at that time.
And you know what? It's funny. Cause I'm in Atlanta's the same way, but we're not people who care about being in front of the camera. And I think that's like the hardest part for us with the whole thing. It's like, you can, if you want to, you can put yourself in the drama, get involved with it and all that stuff. But there's really no soundbite to me saying anything extra other than like the stuff you actually saw and the stuff that happened, just because I don't really have any input. I'm not giving you anything that's going to be great clickbait. I'm just sitting there talking to you. And so I think, you know, like neither of us were like camera hungry people when we were down there.
Yeah. And that didn't work out.
No, it didn't work out at all.
I always say the nicest people are the ones who get fucked over. Like they really are. Like I really feel that way. Most of the time, the nicest people are the ones because they get taken advantage of. They do. They get taken advantage of. They won't necessarily fight back. They'll just kind of like be like, okay, I'm sorry, you know, and then they can create this narrative that they want. So
yeah. And I mean, you know, I've like said this before with like her and I, we're also probably two of the least cloudy people in the show.
Yeah.
Just because like we've got our friends that we have in the whole Bachelor world and, you know, we love hanging out with them, love seeing them, but I haven't done a single ad ever. Zero. I haven't made any money off the show. And that was one of the interesting things for me is like when they talked about on the show, they were like, oh, Chris was talking about followers. He was talking about this. I do marketing for a living and I was giving advice to some of the other guys on how to grow their stuff and how to use it to actually like propel what they're trying to do post show.
That was interesting. Interesting. And it's funny because those conversations do happen all the time.
Oh yeah.
You know, and they just choose to show it when it's convenient. You know what I mean? When it fits the narrative and fits the character arc. So
they didn't even show it. They just talked about it.
They just showed what the other people were saying about it.
Oh my God. That's crazy. That's so true.
Cause I mean, let's be honest, 90% of the actual serious conversations happen when the cameras aren't there.
Yeah.
Like when you're talking business, when you're talking things like that, you're not going to sit there and talk in front of a camera. You're going to do it in bed when the mics are off you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, Noah and I had so many snuggle sessions where I just got into bed with him and we would just sit there and chat.
That's great. So, yeah. Well, and I think so, speaking of Noah too, it's like the one thing I always say, and I think you guys are a great example of this too, is you find out who your real friends are through all of this. You know what I mean? When you go through this, like I said, there are certain people who you haven't probably spoken to since and people who maybe we're on your side privately, but wouldn't say anything publicly. So like you find out who your real friends are real quick through moments like those. So I feel like you did that. Yeah.
No. And I mean, a lot of our friends didn't really say anything publicly.
Really?
I appreciated that you guys said stuff publicly and like, that was great to have that support, but
yeah.
A lot of friends would like attempt to say something publicly, but then wouldn't really say something publicly.
They'd just be like, Chris is a great guy. Love him.
But that was like the end of it. I was like, we're just going to cut it off right there. But yeah, I mean, and it's actually interesting because obviously the show does what they do, but I mean, shortly after airing ended, who was I in Oklahoma hanging out with? Ivan and Noah. But yet, if you watch it on TV, it doesn't look like we all get along at all.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy how that works. Man.
And we wouldn't all fly to hang out with each other if that was the case.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
reality TV is like to real life as nothing is as it appears.
And I hope more and more people, whether it be through the podcast, like there's so many now, or like the live recaps that I do and like some other people do and even the tweets, it's like, hope people realize, I try to get across like what you're watching is necessarily true. And most of the time it's like the WWE, like they know the narratives of all these story, you know, these character arcs. It's like, yes, it's real. Like, you know, in WWE, the blood's real, the injuries are real, but at the same time, like it's fake because you know who's going to win. Like that's literally what Bachelor is now. It's the WWE, you know, and it's like, do we still keep, continue to watch knowing this, you know? And I hope as more audience listens to pods and things like that, they realize maybe at least even they pause for a second, be like, wait, maybe it was different, you know, and it edited this way. Like, so.
Yeah. I think people are starting to realize that. And, you know, the one thing I always tell everyone is what you say on camera, you choose to say that ultimately. You don't decide where it is placed, but you did choose to say that at some point.
Yep. That's exactly right. That's what I always say too.
She just tapped me, so I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
No, I'd say
he says that all the time. Actually,
I literally, what I always say is like, what you're watching, if I'm crying, if I'm laughing, if I'm mad, that's real. I might just be laughing and crying at something else. So yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we're not actors, you know. So that's what I always
say. It was like Blake's famous going to the bathroom, but it looked like he was running away from everyone on
the
beach.
That's my famous. Yeah, they had me running to the bathroom. So
yeah, Blake, I saw you. I haven't told you. One of my favorite scenes is when you're walking on the beach and it looked like you were just running away every time the water would come up, and then you start walking on straight line again, and then you
dude, yeah. It's just so funny what they can do with editing. It's brilliant. I mean, it's evil, fucking evil. Evil genius stuff, but it's good stuff. So, but let's leave paradise in the back. Let's leave paradise behind, because What happened post paradise? Like, how did you guys, like, just, I literally don't know really what happened between you guys.
You came to Chicago. Next thing you know, she moved from San Antonio to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
So like exactly post show, like when did you guys start talking again and all that stuff? Or did you ever stop talking?
So what's interesting is, I don't know if I can say this or not, but, I was under the impression by people that I trusted that Alana did not want to speak to me at all.
I didn't read her nonverbal.
I know
right
what you mean. I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So I got my phone back 5 days later and I don't have a text from this guy. No text.
Nothing.
Oh. And I'm so like, okay.
This motherfucker.
But nothing. And then when she finally texted me, I was like, well, I say when she finally, when.
I love it.
When I heard from her, I think I even told you, I was like, I was told you wanted nothing to do with me. I mean, everyone saw the car scene. That was
great scene. That was epic. I'm not going to lie. Like, that was.
And so you have to think about it.
I could not believe how much hate I got for that.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought you were going to get some love because it was just like.
But the funny part is if you think about it, so in my perspective, that was the last interaction her and I had.
True.
At all. And so I'm just sitting there in my head, sitting back in the hotel room, waiting to go home, being like, wow, this girl really hates me. Like, I can't recover from this. I'm done. Like, that's it. And so I think, yeah, it was like 5 days later. I ended up flying out to San Diego because Tammy calls me like 2 days later and she's like, I got dumped on my birthday, blah, blah, blah. She's like, please come to San Diego and hang out with me. So I was like, all right, sure. Like, I'll book a flight. I'll come hang out. And while they're chilling, hanging out, and I get a text from Alana and I was like, oh, okay. Like, it sounds like she wants to talk to me.
Oh, that's kind of a good feeling.
Started talking. And so like we texted and I instantly just got on an online florist place and sent her 2 dozen roses. And I think,
wow. Well played.
And on the card.
But at the time, roses were like the last flower I wanted.
Right?
I mean, I even got the long stemmed ones. Flourish a little bit. But, and I think I wrote on the note, I never got to give you a rose on the show. So here's 2 dozen.
That's pretty good.
So I did that. And then to be honest with you, and this is what no one knows, is I flew down to San Antonio a week and a half later to see her.
Wow. So it was pretty quick.
It was very quick.
Yeah.
So it might not even have been a week and a half later. It might have been a week later.
It was a week.
Yeah. After that first initial message. And it was one of those things where we were like, cameras are off. We can be ourselves. And because we did feel a spark on the beach, and that was the one thing I really liked about Atlanta. It's like, I felt a spark with someone. But that spark lasted for a day and then was cut short and we went home. So I for sure felt like I'd be making a huge mistake to not follow my intuition, to not chase that. And so, yeah, I booked a flight pretty quick, went down to San Antonio, and then we only had a night together because that's where I was going when Noah called me and told me he was heading back to Salt Lake.
I gotcha.
So.
And then he came to Texas every weekend the entire summer.
Wow.
And I couldn't tell my friends what I was doing. So I was just I got some work I got to go do. And they're like, on the weekends? So, but it was literally every weekend of summer I was in San Antonio.
We'll be right back.
We kind of like had this long distance thing going, a lot of FaceTimes. And then the first time we were actually in public together was at your show in Chicago.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Okay.
So
awesome.
And then I don't know when we decided to move in together and stuff, but
really fast.
Yeah. I mean, you guys did the Bachelor timeline without being on the show. That's great.
We really did.
I think we were like 5 months and then we moved in together.
Wow. Yeah.
So we did.
The traveling was a lot.
It was a lot. Cause once we could officially be in public together, I started having her come to Salt Lake City.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
So, cause it was, I mean, we were doing like top secret shit. We'd meet in San Antonio. We would never be in an Uber together. We'd walk around with like sunglasses and a hat. Mm-hmm. We
followed the rules.
We followed the rules to a T. And let's really be honest, no one would have known who the fuck we were. Like, I went home night one. No one would have recognized me ever. So it's not like anyone would have known, but we just didn't want to potentially get in trouble with anything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. You guys definitely did the right thing. But so you guys were together, obviously, when it was airing.
Uh-huh.
Were you given any kind of warning about what was happening or what was going to happen, I should say?
Like 8 hours before I got a call and a complete rundown, and I started freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, I was told that it's not really going to be that bad. The other couple gets it way worse a week later.
But we were together, so like, they were telling us each different
things. Yeah. Compare notes.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
But yeah, I mean, I had a little bit of a warning. I don't think I actually watched. I didn't watch any of the season, actually. I didn't even watch the episode I was on.
And I only watched it because I started getting a lot of hate. And I was like, I need to see what happened on the show.
I actually watched it without volume. Because it was so cringe to me, like how it was put together. I'm like, I can't listen to it, but I can like watch it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hearing like the things go down the way that you didn't remember them going down.
And it's very frustrating too, because you can't say anything. Like that is the worst part. It's like, I mean, I did say something, but you can't really say, usually you can't really say anything. So it's interesting that they said, because I remember I got a call early on, I was talking to producer and she was saying, it's not going to be bad to me. It's not going to be bad. Then I got a call like you did and it was like a day, no, 48 hours before. And the first thing the producer said was, yeah, it's going to be bad. And if a producer says it's going to be bad, that means it's going to be bad. You know?
Yeah. Cause they normally just honey dick you as much as.
Yes. Can. Yeah. So, usually very optimistic. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, don't even worry about it. Like, it's okay. And if it gets bad, there's therapy for you.
Which I have definitely taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think we've got like lifetime therapy sessions, right? Is that part of the contract?
It should be part of the fucking contract. I tell you that. Okay, once a week, like once we have the rest of our lives, man. I swear, man, it is crazy what this show and what the public eye can do.
I think we both learned we're just like not reality TV people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would do a cooking reality TV show.
Not like dating reality TV.
No, dating. Yeah, yeah.
Cooking would be fun. I think cooking will be fun, but
no dating.
No dating. I think I'm done dating though.
Hey, good line. Yeah. Well played. So obviously you guys are living together. You're down in Salt Lake. How has that changed your guys' relationship? I'll answer this first. I saw her look at you.
So it's actually kind of funny. This is the first time I've ever lived with a significant other.
Wow.
And I'm 29 now. But I've lived with my roommate Spencer for the past 9 years.
He is basically a significant other.
Yeah.
Holy cow, that's common law marriage, bro.
No, it really is. Like, I started looking at him after year 7 and I was like, do we like file joint taxes? Like, how does this work?
Can I claim you?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, I've never lived with anyone besides him. So it was a change for me. Things are different. Bathrooms. I realize women have a lot more stuff than men do when it comes to things in the bathroom.
You have your own bathroom.
I do have my own bathroom. So we got a 2-bedroom here.
That's good.
I've got my own bedroom if I really ever need it.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet. I haven't even slept on the couch. So we've
knock on wood, bro. Knock on wood.
I don't think she'd let me. I think if, you know, I ever ended up on the couch, I'd somehow find her laying on top of me when I woke up the next morning. I got cold last night, so I had to
get up here. I put you on the floor. I like the couch too much to let someone sleep on it.
Yeah. she's worried about, we've got like a feathers couch, and her biggest fear is there will be a divot on the couch if someone ever sleeps on it. I mean, I believe her. I think it might happen. But I'm going to get in trouble now.
Yeah, I was going to say. Backpedal. So how long is it? So that was, it filmed in June of last year, right? So you're coming up on like, what, 8 months now? 9 months?
June. We moved in together in November.
Wow, that's awesome.
Holy cow. Only for 5 months.
Holy cow. I
didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah. It's so cool because sometimes, obviously, like all these couples get like all the screen time and all the social media clout and everything. And, you know, we've already seen one couple, unfortunately, not make it. So it's cool to see like a normal, like, I feel like you guys are like a very normal couple, you know, which is so cool to see.
Yeah, no. And it's been fun. I mean, I think, so we were the first couple from Paradise to move in together. We can't even count ourselves as a Paradise couple.
I don't.
That's true.
Yeah, right.
Whenever they add us to the like Bachelor pages on Instagram, like add us to be like all the Paradise couples, and they like put our picture in there. I'm like, we're not a Paradise couple though.
Mm-hmm. True.
Technically. We really aren't, because the entire relationship, obviously it started on the show in that 24 hours, but we both had to build our own relationship on our own off the show, which I think was actually great. We did it without cameras there.
Yeah.
And so I think like when you say we're like a normal couple, I think it's probably because our whole relationship has been on just being a normal couple. So normal couple, two of us went on a show, one went home night one, the other went home, you know, second week.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think since then, Kenny and Mari have moved in together.
Yeah. They're living together.
I think Abigail.
Serene and Joe are about to, I think. And then, are Noah and Abigail living together now?
I mean, they travel everywhere together.
Yeah, they're basically together. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think they did. I don't know. I'm actually not sure.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys are obviously, you know, doing incredible. So it's so cool to see. And he took you to freaking Thailand for your birthday.
No.
What a stud.
It wasn't influencer like taking it care was of just the free hotels. Yeah. It was just
everyone came after us for not just going on our own vacation during Paradise, but Chris took me on a much better vacation.
I was like, well, and that was actually one of my favorite comments. People would say, like, oh, if you wanted a free vacation, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't need a free vacation. Like,
and it's not a vacation. Paradise is fucking hard.
Like, Paradise is also expensive to go on.
That's true.
I spent so much money to go on Paradise,
like all the outfits and stuff.
20 minutes. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a lot of money, and people are like coming after you and saying you can't afford your own vacation. I'm like, listen.
Listen, you.
I felt bad when she told me how much she spent on Bachelor, because I'm like, I mean, I spent a lot to go on Bachelorette to go home night one.
It's on the shows.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy, especially the girls, because it's like you buy the dresses, you have to get them altered, you need shoes and accessories for each dress, like, and you buy dresses as though you're going to be the final person there. So
right, you got to, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a lot. Like, was, people don't realize it.
I was so prepared for Bachelorette. I think I had 5 custom-made suits done. I bought all these shoes. I bought all these shirts. Got everything. I just to go home night one. It's just not even
the kiss of death, bro. Because like I did not, man. My suits, I look like LeBron in the 01 draft, man. My suits are bad, man. I spent, I think, like $2,800 on all the suits that I owned, and I was just there. Was bad, man. It was real. Looking back, it's cringy now. Watching back,
I think that's what it is.
I think that is what it is.
All future contestants don't spend any money.
Dean had a fucking trash bag. The dude didn't even have a suitcase. He had a trash bag on the show. Yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise with Dean, but yeah, like a trash bag, man. And he made it to the, I think, hometowns. Yeah, so. Wow. It's just funny how that works. Yeah. So,
yeah, I'm trying to think of, I don't even know what's going on with the show.
We haven't watched.
Honestly, I get it.
I mean, I know everything that happened with this past season just because it's been so talked about and like
it's everywhere.
Controversial.
And I actually played against Clayton in high school football.
Oh, that's wow, a really? Cool little fact.
Yeah, we're the same age. Granted, we beat the shit out of his team every time. We were nationally ranked, we're in the same conference, everything like that. And so it, I mean, it wasn't even a contest when we were playing against them, but it was cool to see a guy from Missouri end up going on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Being the Bachelor. And then, I mean, he's in a relationship now, you know, they seem very happy together. And now we got 2 Bachelorettes.
How are they going to do that? Is it going to be like that one?
So they released the cast of guys.
I saw.
And it seems like it's the same amount of guys. Yeah. So it's like, so they are really, so it's not like each True. Girl has their own pick of like the litter.
Yeah.
60. Yeah.
Well, wasn't there one season where they had 2 Bachelorettes and they had all the guys vote as to who they wanted to keep there?
It's not going to be like that.
No, it won't be like that.
It's not.
I don't think so. I think they're going to keep both of them. But that was fucked up. It's Britt and Caitlin Bristow. And
that's
won.
Right.
Can you imagine how much different her life would be? Oh, my God. Oh. Holy hell. Yeah. That's crazy to think. I don't think they'll do it that way, but I have no idea how they're going to do the dates. I was just talking, are we going to get 8 hometowns? Are we going to get just 4 hometowns? Are we going to get 6 fantasy suites?
So I have a theory. I think that since the girls were like so screwed by fantasy suite week, they're each only going to take like 1 or 2 guys to fantasy suites.
Mm.
Because like, they know how it feels to like have the person you're like in love with to sleep with 2 other people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'll do that.
I just, yeah, I hope that they don't turn the girls against each other with like just 1 litter of guys. Like,
I feel like they probably both have different tastes.
Because what if they both like, well, they had the one taste in Clayton, so.
Well, that's one option though.
Yeah,
that's true.
They might keep them separate and not let them know who each other are dating.
Oh my God, that'd be fucked. Oh my God.
Could you imagine if like one guy
anxiety.
Is like on both fantasy suite dates?
Only let them see each other like at rose ceremonies and they each want to hand the same guy a rose.
Oh. You're right. What if they just, I didn't even thought about that theory. What if they just kept them that'd apart the bad. Whole time? Oh my God, that'd be crazy.
Well, let's be real. When we're like worried about these girls, since they got screwed over on their season, are we really worried about the producers not screwing them over too?
Yeah, they'd screw them over again in a second if it makes good TV. Yeah.
You're in the grasp of ABC at this point.
Yeah.
You really think you're going to come out a winner?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's true, though. It's true. If you...
She's like, hold it back, bring it back.
She's like, don't get fined.
Yeah. I'm just here so I don't get fined. No, I feel like if they see an opportunity for them to fall in love, or at least have one guy early on, have them have to choose or something, like they're going to take it, you know, it's going to make, even if it's not a big deal, then they'll use it in previews for fucking all the way up to the fun finale kind of thing, you know? Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting season. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also terrified for it and them. So it's going to be interesting. So, well, I love you guys. Thanks for coming on. What do you guys have, you know, next? You have anything big coming up next? Anything you got?
There should be some cooking stuff because you guys have picked up a lot, like the sushi classes. I see y'all doing tutorials now.
Yes.
And you said you don't do sponsor. You haven't done a sponsored gig, but I saw a Traeger grill story.
Oh, yeah.
So he doesn't get paid for those.
I don't get paid for
it. But did they send it to you for free?
Yeah. So
there we go.
It's an interesting deal. So I've been friends with Traeger for about 5 years.
They're life changing.
Oh yeah. And they gave me my first grill for free back when I just did work with them. And so I've always been a huge fan of the company. Mm-hmm. I've even applied for a job at the company in the past. And so for me, when it wasn't even when all the show stuff happened, but when they saw that I would constantly just post them and put them on my story, they were like, hey, like we can help you out too. And I was like, oh yeah, what can you do? And they're like, why don't we just get you another grill? And I was like, okay, yeah.
Okay. I'll be happy
and stuff. Yeah. So, cause they don't pay any of their brand ambassadors.
Mm-mm. Oh, I remember saying that. Yeah, yeah.
But no, it'll be, I mean, they're a cool company and they like their product is great.
So. Shout out Traeger. Yeah.
Shout out Traeger. But I think, yeah, we are for sure going to do more cooking stuff though. Good. And cause that's just fun for us. And I know the filming part's hard, the editing part's hard, but at the same time, the end product's cool. So we enjoy it. Yeah.
Just like cooking, you know?
Yeah.
The end product. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so
we're excited to see what's next.
Tell everybody where they can find you on Instagram, Twitter, all that fun stuff.
What's your Instagram name?
Instagram, Alana A. Milne, last name.
And mine is just at Chris Conrad.
There you go. Go follow them and watch their cooking videos for sure. So, well, thank you guys so much for coming on. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you guys so much.
It was really good to see you guys. Hopefully, we'll see. We were saying I'm going to get a show out in Salt Lake, hopefully one of these days. So I'll be out there, hopefully. Yeah, we're going to work on that.
I'll find a way to make it happen. So we're going to get you out there.
Absolutely.
And who knows? Maybe we'll see you at Stagecoach.
Yeah, it's the spirit. Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
I'm not kidding. If you guys want to come, we can figure it out. Well, yeah, keep us updated for sure, because that'd be awesome. I'd love to see you guys. So
sweet.
All right. It was good. Thanks again, guys. Appreciate you.
You too. Thank you so much.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, Behind the Rose.